Pro Wrestling Obsession Live is back with you here on the day after July 4th. Ready for yet another episode tonight. We've got an action-packed 2 hours, and we've got the superstars of Main Event Wrestling in West Virginia that will be joining us here shortly. Right now, I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Sean Subaru Forrester. I mean, Sean Blitz Forrester. How you doing, Sean?
I'm chugging. How about you?
Yeah, you're still chugging, aren't you, dude? And the illustrious Bo Meister. How are you tonight, Bo Johnson?
I'm doing all right. A little warm.
A little warm. How? What's the temperature this week in Wyoming? Yeah, that's about the same here in Indiana. I am the Prophet Rick Craig as well. We are brought to you by the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Network, and you can find them at www.blogtalkradio.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can find them on Facebook as well, www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. They have a website. It's www.prowrestlingpowerhouse.com and Twitter at PW Powerhouse. We are Pro Wrestling Obsession. We can be found www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Obsession, where you will find the Prophet, the Blitz, and the Bowmeister in action every day of the week, except when I'm on vacation, which I am ending very soon. All right, I promised superstars of Main Event Wrestling tonight. We've got the owner himself, Howard Hill, is with us tonight. We've got the champ, BRG, is in the house. We've got the savior himself, James Maxson, is with us. And we have the illustrious high flyer, Andrew Johnson. How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Doing pretty good.
Doing fine.
Well, first I want to catch up with the owner real quick. I want to talk to Howard Hill. Howard, for those who are not aware of Main Event Wrestling, you guys are obviously, is it St. Albans?
Yes, St. Albans.
Is that how you pronounce it? St. Albans, West Virginia. How long have you guys been, how long has the promotion been around, I guess?
Well, truthfully, I would say around March of last year is when we held our first official show. Before that, for the past few years, we kind of just fooled around, had a few guys come in, do a few matches, and see how it worked. But we never really got serious with it until March of last year.
And do you run shows pretty much all through the state, or are you just sticking around the St. Albans area for now? Or I guess what's...
Right now we're sticking around St. Albans. There's been a few issues about getting certain venues, so it's been a little difficult, but we just stay around St. Albans.
Okay, very cool. Now, have you had any big names come through the promotion that we may have heard of?
There's a local star around here, Billy Litt. He came in October for us and did a match. Other than that, we haven't had much.
I saw Billy Litt recently.
You did?
Yeah, he was up here with Bo James doing their championship Wrestling of the Rockies tour. That kind of, that got fizzled. They did like 4 shows and then they left.
Oh, okay. Now, Howard, unless I'm just have misread things, that's very possible. Big Bully Busick has not been in your promotion.
What is it?
Big Bully Busick, former WWF star, he lives over in the West Virginia area. I thought he was with you guys at one time.
Nope.
No. Okay. Well, let's talk for a minute to Andrew Johnson. Andrew, how's it going, man?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing good. Now, Andrew, let me ask you a question. How old are you, sir?
17, about to go on 18.
17 years old, and how long have you been wrestling?
I've been trained about a year and a half ago by indie superstars around West Virginia, by Alan Lynch, Young Shane Storm, people like that, but I haven't really been wrestling much till Main Event Wrestling started, and that's when I've been really getting into it more.
And how many championships have you won for the promotion already?
Held the main title 3 times, and I've held the extreme title once.
Outstanding. Now, am I correct, or I have to apologize, guys. I'm in Indiana, and I don't get to follow the promotion very closely. Are you after Devious's title right now, the Extreme title?
Yes, we go one-on-one at War Mania, and it's supposed to be a last man standing between me and him for the Extreme Championship. A few shows ago, stolen the title, has kept it hostage with me, and I feel like I deserve it, so I'm going to keep the championship in my possession. And if he really wants the title back, he will have to go through me at War Mania, the last man standing, to get the title back.
Well, what makes you so sure, Andrew, that you're going to be able to get the job done against Devious? Obviously, by his name, he sounds like he's not going to play by the rules.
He's been known to not play by the rules over the past year. And me and him, we've had a couple matches. You know, I always came out on top. There's nothing going to change this time. I'm still going to become your winner.
Outstanding. Now, what kind of a wrestler are you, Andrew? Are you a high flyer, or are you pretty much a mat wrestler, or a little bit of both? Or
I'm a little bit of both. In between. I do high flying, mat wrestling, a little bit in between.
Okay. Let's move on over to the Savior himself. James, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
I guess you got a little beef for the title going right now. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And what's the deal with this? What's making you so adamant about becoming the main event champion again? Or not again, but getting it.
It all started back with Death Riot, dominant team between BRG and I. Held the tag titles for about 6 months. Nobody could beat us. And then the last show that we held the titles, he decided to answer his cell phone in the middle of the match and walk out, leaving me to defend both titles by myself when another superstar by the name of Dylan Lynch snuck in and got a schoolboy roll up on me and lost both the titles.
BRG, what would prompt such a deal where you would answer a telephone call in the middle of a match with your partner?
Well, you see, there's no quite way of knowing who would be calling me, and I had some very, very personal, issues at the time, and I needed to have my phone with me at all times, just in case something would happen.
So what are you thinking, I guess, about the Savior being upset with you over this? Is it just a complete bunch of bollocks? Is he just,
I told him,
you know,
time
not
and time again,
understanding as a friend? Or is he justified in wanting a piece of you?
Well, honestly, I've got a feeling that the entire time during Death Riot, James was a little bit jealous of me because I had held the Main Event Wrestling Championship and he had not. We did hold the tag team titles together, but we all know who carried that team. Obviously me. Well, I had warned Maxson about the cell phone. I told him for weeks upon weeks that I needed to keep my cell phone with me at all times. And that moment had arisen, and I told him I had personal issues I had to take care of right then and there.
BRG, you were the heavyweight champion and tag team champion at the same time, correct?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Is the tag team championship secondary to you? Obviously, you were the big dog in the promotion. Is this tag team championship just a secondary thing for you? It's not as important to you, and you can afford to lose it to a phone call?
Well, considering the reasoning behind the phone call, yes.
And does James understand what the phone call was about?
That I'm not quite sure about. That would probably be a good question to ask the Savior himself.
Savior, did he enlighten you as to what this phone call was about and why it was important for him to carry the cell phone around with him?
Not once. He just said that he had to have his phone. It rang in the middle of the match, and he was gone.
So what are you deducting from this, James? Obviously, you guys haven't been able to talk this out. You guys are going to go to battle here in what, a week or two, is it?
Yeah. 2 weeks, I believe.
You're going to go into battle against these other former tag team champions, buddies in the ring, and a phone call. And he never told you about it, never explained to you why it was important to him at all, right, James?
No. He just said that he had to have his phone with him. And I'm in the middle of the match, and I hear his cell phone start ringing. And I turn around, and he's walking back towards the back. And then I see him leaving with his bag. And then,
so what do you think, James? What do you think this is about? Obviously, is it obvious to you, I guess, that he turned his back on you?
Yes, it's very obvious that he turned his back on his tag team partner for a girl. That's simple. That's the only reason I would think that that man would walk out of a match.
So a chick is involved, is what you're saying.
I believe so.
Very interesting. Andrew, when you get your match against Devious, what are you expecting out of him?
Honestly, considering he hasn't been able to show up because he's been scared of me for the past 2 months, I expect is a quick win. You know, a super kick here and there, him out, him down for 10 seconds, my hand being raised, new extreme champion.
And that is a title you've held before, right?
I've held the Extreme Championship once and never lost the title. I was stripped of it.
And why were you stripped of it?
I was stripped of it due to an injury I had. However, the injury wasn't as long as the doctors had told me. And by the time I returned, there was already a new holder with the Extreme Championship.
Now, how long were you injured for?
The doctor told me I would have been injured for about 6 months. It could be between 6 to 9 months I would have been injured. I came back maybe 2 months later. My injury already felt 100% healed up, and I was ready to get back in there, and I did just that.
So, Howard, did you, as the owner, make the decision that you had to strip the title away from Andrew, knowing what you knew with his injury, that he could be out, you know, up to 9 months? Did you make that decision that you had to take the title away from him and not knowing he'd be back in two?
Well, from what Andrew told me, he had told me what the doctors had said. He had told me that he would be out for a lengthy amount of time, and it's kind of hard to run a business where the champion's not going to be there for almost a year. You've got to have the belt in action. You've got to have it to where the belt will be defended here and there. That way people are going to be interested. I couldn't let him keep the belt and stay off on a pretty much little hiatus holding the belt, because that would just leave empty spots.
So what did you do? Did you hold a tournament, or what did you do to declare a new champion?
Well, we had a few number one contenders matches. Yeah. And it came down to Devious and, I honestly can't remember right now. It doesn't come to mind. But Devious did win the championship. And, yes, it's right that Andrew didn't lose the championship fairly. That is why I've allowed this match at Wilmania to take place, for Andrew to prove that he is back in top physical condition and that he can prove that he deserves the championship.
So, Andrew, what did you do to enable yourself to be back in such a quick amount of time? 2 months is a lot of difference between 6 to 9 months. How did you get yourself conditioned and able to get back in the ring that fast?
honestly, I guess this was on my behalf. I just sat around, rested it. I don't think the doctors were straight up with me about how it really was, because it healed a lot faster than me, the doctors, anybody thought. And my eye just starts, like, one day I would start walking around on it. It felt healed up. I tried giving it a little bit of a go, taking a little sips at a time. By then, I knew I was ready.
And what did you say you did? How did you get hurt again?
I was injured during a match with Death Riot in a tag match when I had a team with Devious. However, that same match in December, Devious turned on me and helped Death Riot win this match to defend their tag titles.
So you have a long history with Devious.
Me and Devious have been going at it since maybe the start of Main Event Wrestling, on and off. I don't know. He's probably the main person I'm familiar with on the MEW roster.
So what do you dislike so much about Devious that you're willing to continue getting in the ring with him?
All I want to do is get in the ring with him at War Mania, show him that I am still able to hold the Extreme Championship. I'm going to also let him know that he should never have turned on me during our tag match in December.
It seems like this show is more about people turning on each other than anything. James, what made you decide that you wanted to go after BRG and his title? I mean, were you so upset with what he did and not a logical explanation to you for it that you felt the need that you're going to take what matters the most to the man?
Yeah, I sought it out after he turned on me. The only title that I haven't held is the Main Event Wrestling Championship. I was the first person to hold the Main Event Wrestling Extreme Championship, one half of the first team to hold the tag titles. And when I go to War Mania and I beat BRG in our death match, I want to be the first ever Main Event Wrestling Triple Crown champion.
Now, James, in a death match, what is all involved in a death match for Main Event Wrestling?
Anything. Whatever. Fans bring the weapons. I'm gonna make him the sacrificial lamb.
BRG, did you turn on James Maxson?
I didn't turn on him. I had some issues I had to take care of. And any other man who would have been in my position would have done the same thing.
Why are you not at liberty to tell your former partner what was going on? I mean, don't you at least owe that to the man, the guy who's tag-teaming with you, getting in the ring with you, defending the titles as Death Riot, and then all of a sudden a phone call costs you guys the titles, and you can't even muster up the courage or the cojones to talk to James and explain to the man why this had to happen. Now you're going to have to defend your title against a man who's not very happy with you.
If everyone wants me to come clean and talk about what the phone call was about, I will do so. But I'll warn you first, it is very, very personal business.
Enough? It's personal enough that you're willing to allow your tag team Death Riot to just disintegrate and the belts to disappear like that, and without an explanation to your partner? This is so personal and so important to you, it's more important than James Maxson.
Definitely.
James, how do you respond to that, dude?
Nothing's more important than me. I'm the savior. I'm the best thing to happen to Main Event Wrestling. Simple as that.
So you got a death match with him. Why did it have to get this extreme? What made you guys elect to go for a death match?
The simple fact that I want to prove to all the fans that come out that any man, I don't care what I'm going to do, I'm going to do what I have to do to take what's most precious to him. And whether the fans like me for it, whether they hate me for it, I'm going to do what I have to do.
BRG, how do you plan on defending and holding on to this title that you hold so dear against a man so outraged with you, enraged with you? I mean, he obviously wants some revenge. I mean...
Well, of course, teaming with him in Death Riot was a plus-plus situation for the both of us. Even though we learned each other's strengths in the ring, we also learned each other's weaknesses. And I plan to use that against Maxson at WrestleMania. I know exactly what makes him tick.
All right, let me talk to Howard for just a minute. Howard, WrestleMania is coming up. What? Obviously, we've heard two of the main, you know, main attractions of the night. What else do we got on tap? What else is on WrestleMania that we can look forward to seeing? Tag Team Champions in action?
Yes, the Tag Team Champions, Paul Bryant and Dylan Lynch, will be facing against, I'm thinking, Andrew Johnson and Rusty Lee. We've also got a dark match scheduled before the show. It will be Dr. Swag Austin Hunter versus Paul Bryant.
So Mr. Johnson has a tag team title shot as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. He's a part of the group called The Union right now.
So, Andrew, you're going double duty then. The chance to get two belts.
So
tell me a little bit about your tag team battle that you've got going then.
Well, let's see. There's the team of Dillons and Paul Bryant, the men that beat the undefeated six-month tag champions, that's right. Dillons and Paul Bryant apparently haven't been getting along since Elimination in early May. And by the looks of it, me and Rusty Lee really don't have much of a challenge for the tag belt.
You think they're just going to disintegrate right before your eyes?
Yeah. It would just be an easy pickup victory, bringing the tag titles to the Union. So as I bring the Extreme Championship to the Union, me and Rusty will also be bringing the tag belt to the Union, and the Savior, James Maxson, will be bringing the MEW World Championship to the Union, and we will be unstoppable.
So, Howard, what is the long-term plans, I guess, for the promotion? Or I guess, what's the short-term plans first, then the long-term plans? What do you got going for this promotion?
Right now, we're not faring so well in terms of having a venue, and honestly, we don't have a ring. So, what we're planning on doing is doing a few fundraisers here and there, and grouping together and saving up as much money as we can to buy a ring. I've met a few people in this area who have run promotions before, and they've got parts of a ring because some issues happened while they were in the hospital and parts of the ring were stolen. But we've talked with this person, and we're going to go check out the frame and the condition it's in to see if it's worth going with what he's got and just buying the parts they're missing, or just saving up altogether and buying a new ring. But I've been in talks with a few people, and I think we might have a venue to run from.
So Howard, without getting too personal involved with this, how much do wrestling rings cost? Because I have no clue.
I've seen some that run between $2,000 and $5,000.
So a nice pretty penny then.
Yeah.
So who else is on the roster that we need to be aware of, Howard? I mean, obviously we've heard from three of your big stars. Who else? I mean, we've heard some names tossed out like Divas and the tag team champions, but who else you got on your roster that you want to give a shout out to tonight?
Well, it wouldn't be Main Event Wrestling without giving a little shout out to Mr. Hank Jackson. Hank Jackson's Main Event Wrestling's resident redneck. He is the most foul-mouthed man you'll meet in your life. And if you don't believe me, just watch a few of our videos. We've got them up on our YouTube. Just search Main Event Wrestling WV. Hank Jackson's a, he's a character, I'll tell you that.
James Maxson, how long have you been wrestling?
I started training right after my senior year of high school started, and I stuck with it up until, how long did I train, Howard? 3 years, almost?
About that. Let me think. It was around
about two and a half, 3 years. I stuck with it right up until the guy that was on the training moved to Florida. Not really sure why. Never really got that personal. But he moved to Florida, and the company just shut down and just kind of dwindled away. And then, you know, I had met Howard through training, actually, and then right after, right around February of last year, he got a hold of me and asked me if I wanted to come in and wrestle with Main Event Wrestling.
So what got you interested in becoming a pro wrestler in the first place?
Honestly, just watching it on TV, I was like, you know, it's, I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say that I had any big, big time goals, you know, not really to make it to the Fed, nothing like that. It's just, I wanted it to be something, you know, that I could get into locally, you know, just do it around here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, I got that, you know, I got that opportunity. Up, you know, like I said, I trained and worked. I think I ended up wrestling on about 3 shows with XMCW here in the area, and they're the ones that shut down after the trainer moved to Florida. And then right after that, Howard had gotten in touch with me and said that they needed a few guys to come in with for them, and sure enough, I took him up immediately on the offer. Then I had another guy that wrestles with us now by the name of Paul Bryan, the other half of the tag team champions, a good buddy of mine from school. I said, hey, I got a buddy of mine wants us to wrestle for him. You know, we'll come down and give you a little bit of a tryout, see how you do, and we'll get you tossed in there. And he has undoubtedly been our most improved wrestler this year.
This may be a loaded question, so bear with me, but do you prefer tag team wrestling or singles wrestling?
I don't have a preference, honestly. I'll do, you know, either way, as long as I get to wrestle, I get to wrestle. That's how I look at it.
How about you, Andrew? Do you like to wrestle on tag teams better, or would you rather compete as a singles?
Honestly, I'd rather stick with single division because most of the time I'll get a tag partner, get turned on, tapped in twice. Hopefully, Rusty Lee thinks correctly and doesn't try turning on me, and we can win the tag title.
BRG, same question.
As ironic as it may sound, I prefer tag wrestling.
Why is that?
Just so he can walk out on his partner. That's why.
Oh, hey, come on, Max. Be professional here.
Just speaking the truth.
Huh? What you think is the truth. But I'm not exactly sure why, but there's just a special spark in tag wrestling that I don't feel in singles wrestling. And I know it may seem so ironic because of the phone call incident and losing the tag team championship and gaining the singles championship. But, I don't know.
Xavier, you know what? I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes to just talk to each other. Xavier, what do you want to say to BRG?
I'm just wanting to tell him to prepare his
no,
bed.
No. Stop, Xavier. You're talking to him now. I'm sitting aside here and I'm listening now. You guys have a conversation with each other. Tell him what you want to tell him.
Better.
Can you think of anything?
Oh, I can think of plenty, BRG. Just nothing worth wasting my breath to speak to you.
Wasting your breath? How about wasting my breath for the times I've tried to explain to you about what happened with the phone call?
Explain to me what happened, guys.
I even apologized to you later. I apologize. I held out my hand. I told you I was sorry. But you kicked me in the gut.
Yeah, actions speak louder than words, don't they?
Maxon, you really want to know what the phone call was about?
Past is the past. Don't dwell on it. It's been 6 months.
To make a long story short, my personal business that I had to keep my phone on me was my girlfriend of 4 years, who was pregnant at the time. She was actually far into the pregnancy. And any expecting father will tell you that when it gets that far into the pregnancy, it's a good idea to keep your phone on you when you're not around her. Because you never know what could happen and when it could happen.
And that was worth walking out on a match.
Let me wait.
There's a difference between me and you, BRG. You care about what other people think. I don't. I'm there to get the job done.
I've always been a man of my people. Sure, it may not have seemed like it at the times, but everything I've done in Main Event Wrestling has always benefited the fans in the end. All you've done, Maxon, is benefit yourself.
In the end, we're all chalk lines drawn on the sidewalk only to be washed away. And I want to leave you as a chalk line at Warmania.
So, Andrew, real quick. Andrew, you know exactly what James is going through. So what's your take on this situation?
I don't blame James Maxon one bit. James Maxon's doing the right thing. Nobody cares whether the fans love what he's doing, whether he hates it. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that once Warmania is over, James Maxon is going to show BRG, who was the dominant force in their tag team, and he's going to be showing BRG why he is the next MEW world champion.
And why do you feel he's able to get the job done? Why isn't BRG capable of holding this title against James?
Well, let's face it. Ever since BRG's won the MEW world title, he hasn't been winning as much. However, James Maxon, for the past few months, he's been unstoppable. He's lost maybe, let's see, he won the Rumble, giving him the shot at BRG.
BRG, it doesn't sound like you have very many friends on the line tonight.
Not tonight. You want to call up Hank Jackson? I think he's a good buddy of mine. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I
I'll tell you what, gentlemen. We have just a few minutes left. I'm going to turn it over to each of you for a minute, and I'll give you a couple last words here. So let's start off with you, Andrew. What do you want to say to the people out there listening tonight?
The only thing that really is left to say is I really want to just hope to see everybody at War Mania watching me beat TV as becoming an extreme champion, bring the title back where it truthfully belongs. I never lost the title, should never been stripped of the championship. I should still be the extreme champion today and not even have to go one-on-one with TV at War Mania. But thanks to our general manager who wants to strip me of the championship, I guess I'm just going to have to prove my point again why I am the extreme champion.
I mean, what does it mean to you to be the extreme champion? Why is that such an important title for you?
The reason I feel like I need that extreme championship with me
title for you.
Because
I feel like I need that extreme championship with my
general manager. Because he wants to strip me of the title, doesn't want to give me a chance to even defend the championship. I never should have lost it. It should still be with me today. And I just want to get back what was stolen from me.
Hang on just a second, Andrew. We've got another call coming in. Hello, who's joining us?
This is Brian.
Brian, how are you tonight?
I'm good. I have a question for BRG.
Go ahead.
How exactly do you say that you see yourself at War Mania against James Maxson?
Well, that's a very good question, Brian. I do see myself walking into War Mania as the champion, and I see myself leaving War Mania as the champion. But there's going to be a difference between me walking in to War Mania and me walking out of War Mania. And that is, I'm going to walk in War Mania perfectly fine, but I fully expect Maxson to bring all he's got. I expect to leave War Mania with scars and bruises.
I have another question.
Go for it.
There is a guy named Paul Bryant who has a shot for a briefcase to go for any title that he wants. Say at War Mania he cashes in on you. What will happen if that happens?
Well, if the moment's right, and Bryant waits until the exact moment when I am there laying down immobile. And if he cashes in, I'm not sure what will happen. I don't know if I have the strength to stand up and fight, or if I'll just be out. It all depends on what Maxson can do.
Brian, thank you for your phone call. We appreciate it. All right, James, you've got your final bell here, and what do you want to say?
BRG says that Mr. Bryant cashing in depends on what I can do. There's one problem with that, though. Mr. Bryant can't cash in on a man that's not champion. I intend on beating BRG to the point that he can't stand up and fight. So be it if he does retain, but he won't be able to stand up. So if Mr. Bryant would happen to cash in, by the grace of God, if BRG would somehow manage to keep his title, he would still lose it that day. But we all know that's not going to happen. I'm going to walk out. Maybe even crawl out. But I'm going to crawl out with that belt. And I'm going to be gone so fast that Mr. Bryant won't even be able to think about cashing in on me.
BRG, you've got a couple minutes left for you to say what you want to say to the world.
Well, Maxson, it's been a long, long road to bring us here. We've gone through a lot together and against each other. I know your weaknesses, you know mine, and we're definitely going to put that to use in Warmania. I expect nothing less than the best from you, and I would hope you would expect nothing less than the best from me. Regarding Mr. Paul Bryant's cash-in, even if I lose the championship to Maxson, I'm giving him all I've got to make sure that even if you win, Bryant will be able to cash in.
Let's turn it over one last shot here for the owner of Main Event Wrestling. I want to thank Howard Hill for coming on tonight. Howard, we appreciate having your stars, Andrew Johnson, the Savior himself, James Maxson, BRG, in the house tonight. We appreciate you guys, you know, giving your time here on a Friday night to talk with us. What do you want to say, Howard, in closing?
Well, first off, thank you guys for having us on. It was a great pleasure. It was very nice. Warmania, I'm not sure if we got that out yet, but it will be July 20th here in St. Albans, West Virginia, the city park. We've got a nice card pack. Of course, Main Event, BRG and Maxson. We've got Austin and Bryant. We've got Hank Jackson and Dylan Lynch in a career-threatening match, Three Stages of Hell. We've got it all. And I'm just hoping that, you know, we'll have a job with the first crowd. It will definitely be a show worth coming to. You will not want to miss this.
That's outstanding. Now, Pro Wrestling Obsession has always been a big supporter of not only the major leagues out there, obviously the WWEs and TNAs and Ring of Honors of the world, but we also want to give our props to Main Event Wrestling and some of the indie promotions out there, because without them, we have no main events, big main events. So Howard Hill, thank you so much. James Maxson, thank you for coming on. BRG, I thank you very much. Andrew Johnson, thank you for getting this all set up for me. I appreciate it. You guys have a great card, and we'll talk to you guys next round, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Night, guys. All right, Bowmeister and Blitz Forrester. It is about that time to move on to our next segment. All right, so with that, let's get ourselves over to the tank. All right, the think tank is up. Blitz Forrester, are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Bowmeister, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to roll.
All right,
hey,
gentlemen, today's topic is going to be building the perfect wrestler. There are 10 categories that we're going to build our perfect wrestler in. And what I want to do is when I read off each particular category, I want you to say who you feel would be the best description of being the perfect wrestler in that category. So let's start off with appearance. If you had to build the perfect wrestler in appearance, Blitz Forrester, who would you pick first?
This one's going to be an odd choice for me, but Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre, why do you feel that way?
Well, for one, he's about 6'5", 250 pounds. He's very muscular, but not just jacked like the Batistas of the world. And
right.
He has a graceful look. He has a good look. You know, physically attractive.
Okay. Bowmeister, who would you pick for appearance?
that's a tough one. McIntyre is actually a really good choice because of his lean yet athletic build. All the other ones that come to my head are all meatheads, like Cena and Batista and the like. So I'd have to go with like McIntyre.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I think he'd be a great choice. My choice was, you know, I would pick a younger wrestler. I'd take Magnus. I think he's got a good wrestler build, very solid, very strong, but at the same point, not overwhelmingly ripped. I have to agree with you guys on the Rybacks and the Batistas of the world that I wouldn't go that large, I guess. Let's go, how about technical ability? If we were picking the perfect wrestler, whose technical ability would you take and put into this wrestler? Bo?
I'd have to say Malenko. Especially a very seasoned Malenko with all his holds and counter holds.
Very good. That's an excellent choice. Blitz, who would you pick?
I love Malenko, but just to disagree with Bo, I'm going to go with Chris Benoit.
Ooh, that's a good choice as well. I've been giving this some thought today, and I'm going to go with Kurt Angle, just because I think he can... gosh, it's hard to go against Malenko or Benoit, because they both have those same capabilities, but Angle just has that God-given talent. I'd have to pick him for technical ability. Sean, how about ring intelligence?
Ooh. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Why?
The man has the ring psychology down to letter. He lives the gimmick. In that ring, he is the snake. Go back and watch his matches. He is a snake. And it works.
Bo, who would you pick for ring intelligence?
I'd have to say Roberts, too. That man is a genius inside the ring playing his character. And to a certain extent, also intimidating his opponents with his very methodical pacing.
This one's a difficult one for me because I've been struggling to come up with who I think would be just half an outthink, you know, somebody in the ring and who I thought was the hardest person to overmatch wits with. I guess the only one I'm coming up with right now is Flair. I just think he was a master inside the ring, very, very tough to outthink and beat. He always seemed to be one step ahead of the competition all the time. Bo, how about mic skills? If you had to build the perfect wrestler, he would have whose mic skills?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I'm going to have to go with Punk. Punk with freedom, anyway. I mean,
right.
When he's on, he can deliver some of the most incredible material I've ever watched.
Sean?
While I do have to agree that Punk is when he's on, he's on. I've always put less emphasis on promos that are constant. Go with someone with an occasional, very rarely gets on the mic, but gets the job done when he gets on there, the Enforcer, Arn Anderson.
Yeah, an Enforcer did go through my mind as well. Flair, again, went through my mind. I'm going to have to go on the side of Bo on this one. Punk has just been delivering pretty solid, you know, stuff for the last 2 years now, so... I don't know, if I had to build the perfect wrestler, I'd have to have CM Punk's mouth in there, I think. How about Sean Charisma?
Ooh.
If you're building the perfect wrestler, whose charisma would you put in him?
you're going to hate me for this, Roddy Piper.
Okay, why?
In the 80s, in WWF, I mean, the guy went and painted himself half black and got the crowd going. He went out there, he got the crowd going. And that, for me, is charisma, getting the crowd going.
Bo?
So many to choose from. I'm going to have to go with The Rock's charisma. I mean, when he opens his mouth, the crowd usually starts to get going. Granted, it's a lot of, you know, odd humor at times, but the man knows how to work a crowd.
Sean, you were telling me that I was going to hate you for your choice. You know how close I was to picking Hulk Hogan.
You deserve a slap for that.
I deserve a slap for that?
Yeah.
Damn, good grief. Why did I didn't pick him, though. Take it back. My choice is Sting. My choice is Sting.
Ooh.
I think Sting has been able to pump up a crowd nonstop for almost 25 years now, right? He's been going at it and getting crowds involved, and even in his 50s, he's still getting crowds behind him. He still gets a huge pop every time he walks out. I would pick the Stinger's charisma. Bo, how about strength? Whose strength would you have in the perfect wrestler? Power.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's got to be Cesaro. That man's got incredible strength.
Blitz.
No competition for me here, Antonio Cesaro.
Guess what, gentlemen? It's a clean sweep. I'm going with Antonio Cesaro's power as well. He's not the big, humongous Batista of the world, but he has got just that raw power in him without being overly bulked up. That just translates well. All right, Sean, whose endurance would you pick to put into the perfect wrestler?
I'm going over school here, and I'm going with Mr. Bob Backlund.
Why are you taking Mr. Backlund?
I'm going Backlund for the sheer number of time-limit draws he went in the during his five-year WWF title reign. He took on the best in the world, and he went the distance every time.
Mr. Bo.
Going to have to go kind of old school, but Flair in his prime.
Why?
The man wrestled, you know, constantly. I guess my other choice there would be San Martino, who wrestled almost every night as the WWF champion for like 8 years straight, and some of those matches lasted for an hour plus. Actually, I'd change my pick to Cesaro, or San Martino, sorry.
Well, I'm going to go with your initial pick. I'm going to go with Flair for endurance, because he wrestled every freaking night of the week, it seemed like, and every time he wrestled, it was hour time limits constantly, or two out of three falls. I mean, the man was constantly working very long matches every night of the week. They don't do that anymore. And I'd have to take Flair's endurance in his prime. You're right, Bo, in his prime. Bo Meister, whose speed would you put in the perfect wrestler?
Ooh, speed. I'm going to go way out with the international pick in Kota Ibushi as my speed pick.
And why would you pick him?
the only match I've really actually seen him in was the 2009 Rey de Voladores semifinal, in which he had an amazing, just an amazing match in the speed in which he managed to chain everything he did together. I'm not just talking about running speed. I'm talking about fluidity of chaining, too.
Blitz?
Ooh, Kota Ibushi, very good one. But I'm going to go with Amazing Red. For, as you say, you know, he's able to just fly around the ring and is very fluid about it and pulls off moves that you just look at it and wonder, how the world can do that?
I was very nearly going to take Rey Mysterio, but I decided as well to go with Amazing Red. Sean, at your suggestion, I watched a lot of his videos over the last few months, and the man is not only fast, but he is very fluid in the ring, too. He can rip off and zip maneuvers quickly and make you wonder how he did it. So I'm going to agree with you, Blitz Forrester. How about aerial skills? Blitz Forrester, whose aerial skills would you put in the perfect wrestler?
Ooh. Can you come back to me on that one in a moment?
No. You're on the clock, dude.
All right. Then for sheer aerial, Hawk. Better known as Aaron Neville in NXT.
Aaron Neville?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Have you seen the man's corkscrew shooting star press?
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
I'm going to have to go with Ricochet slash Helios. That he's got some incredible aerial moves in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
I've been struggling with this one. There's just so many guys who've done it, you know, great jobs with aerial skills. I just keep going back to Thunder Liger. I always liked watching Jushin when he gets up on top of the ropes and does his thing. I'm going with Jushin Thunder Liger. And our last category for the perfect wrestler, Bo, brawling ability.
Ooh, brawling ability. Let's see here.
It's only a 2-hour show, Bo.
I know. Hang on. Very few names are popping in my head here. Dr. Death is one. Hey. Ow.
Hopefully that'll make you think a little quicker.
I'd have to go with Dr. Death.
Dr. Death, Steve Williams for brawling. That's not a bad choice, sir. Blitz Forrester?
I would love to say Vader for this one. I would love to. But there is one man who...
I thought for sure you were going to say Vader. I thought for sure you were going to say Vader for power. But go ahead.
But there is one man who outdoes Vader in terms of brawling. And that is none other than Stan the Lariat Hansen.
Stan the Lariat Hansen is your choice. And you know how Stan the Lariat Hansen is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. But I'm going to have to go second for Stan Hansen. I'm taking Bruiser Brody. Bruiser Brody was the epitome of brawling. Just, I've seen so many brawls from that man. There's nobody, in my opinion, who out-brawls the late, great Bruiser Brody. So let's quickly cash in here because we're on our last couple seconds of the segment here. Who is the perfect wrestler, Sean Blitz Forrester?
I am.
Ah!
Ouch.
No, you were. Who is the perfect wrestler? Past, present. Doesn't matter. Who
the perfect wrestler? epitomizes everything.
Or as close to it as you can get.
I'm going to say, once again, I'm going to have to say Antonio Cesaro.
Okay. Bo, who you say?
My mind's gone to Cesaro.
So in your guys' opinion, of all the wrestlers in history, he is the closest to perfection. Is that what you're both saying?
More or less,
yes.
Guys, here is the perfect wrestler. Such an easy question, guys. No, I'm not talking about Curtis Axel. The perfect wrestler is Mr. Perfect. He even said so himself. All right. Jeez Louise, you guys are killing me. All right, it's time to move on. Maybe. It's time for WWE Talk. Tonight, Sean the Blitz Forrester, you get to lead us off. What are we going to talk about tonight in World Wrestling Entertainment?
As we all know, I like to scapegoat creative for everything. But this time, I'm going to point my finger at the executive branch of World Wrestling Entertainment.
And which portion of the executive branch are you going to point the finger at?
Whoever's bright idea it is to not put Raw back to 2 hours. Because right now, WWE officials are liking money from the third hour Raw. And not only that, they're looking at more television programming and more rights fees. All right, the rights fees I can understand, but think of how many talent are not being used now, being unutilized now, with all this programming. And you got to just add more programming and probably keep
the
same number of talent.
Wouldn't that give them, Sean, wouldn't that give them more of an avenue to feature more of their talent and not have them sitting on the sidelines if they had more hours and programming?
Provided that they actually use that time to focus on these guys who aren't being utilized.
All right, so what's your beef against the third hour? I know you've been saying it's been detrimental for a long time, but why? Why do you feel the third hour of Raw is excessive?
Three main reasons. Number one, why not, if with a three-hour program, WCW got it right with a three-hour program and use the first hour to bolster up the cruiserweights, or in this case, bolster up guys you normally wouldn't see much on television. give him some matches or use NXT guys. They don't do that. Gripe number two is the overrun. I'm a firm believer that if you say 8 to 11, it should be over at 11. Not 11:20, not 11:05, at 11. And the third gripe is that right now, with 3 hours, WWE is struggling for fillers. They just fill with all sorts of crap.
All right, so you're blaming executive for that. Why wouldn't you blame creative for not coming up with programming or options for the last hour? I mean, isn't that creative's job to do that?
But creative doesn't come up with silly things like all the Hardys. Well, yeah. But executive can say, tell creative, look, get your crap straight. Get it together. Flat. The executive's not doing it. At least it doesn't seem that way.
Bo, what are you thinking about this? Are you agreeing with Blitz?
Well, when I saw the topic that Blitz had kind of posted to us for the show, I'm like, okay, think about this here. Yeah, Raw's at 3 hours, and yeah, they really want all that revenue. WWE is all about the money. We also have to take a look at the bigger scheme of things here. Raw is 3 hours. SmackDown is 2. Main event and NXT are both 1, as well as Superstars, if I remember right. And then when they do run Saturday Morning Slam, it's like half an hour. Plus a 3-hour pay-per-view once a month.
Didn't I hear a Slam got canceled?
Yeah, that got canceled.
I've actually read a report saying that Slam was on postponement because they're treating it like a television series and going on a summer hiatus, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
That was just after it ended. So, but they have, as of right now, 8 hours per week of wrestling entertainment. That they, granted, the only 3 shows actually make it to U.S. soil, to mainstream U.S. soil. NXT, I guess, is only like down in Florida, unless you watch it on Hulu. And then there's Superstars, which is the international airing. I wouldn't mind if Rod cut back an extra hour, because I mean we've been seeing it ever since they started at Raw 1000 with 3 hour, the permanent 3 hour Raw change, and they just burnt out.
You know what? I get what Blitz is saying. Since I watch it on Hulu now, it's condensed to an hour and a half, so I miss a lot of the show, and I don't get to see most of the filler. I do miss every single Antonio Cesaro match known to mankind, but for the most part, I don't see the worst parts of the show, so I'm condensed to an hour and a half of watching it, and I enjoy that. I have to admit, I enjoy watching it at that pace and not having to sit for 3 hours and watching the entire show, because it does get dragging. It does drag on because creative hasn't done the job on being able to keep us entertained for 3 hours. They've got all this talent at their, hands, and they don't use them all. So if they're going to have 3 hours, you would think you would get to see a lot more of the talent more often, but instead you're getting crammed down the throat with more segments of Sheamus and more segments of Cena and more segments of Ryback and that kind of thing. So it's not serving the initial purpose of what I hoped it would. Bo, what other topics do we want to talk about with WWE?
Well, we do have the now set debut date of the Wyatt family.
We finally got the date.
What
is that date? Oh, it's going to be at the pay-per-view?
Nope, this Monday.
This Monday, I'm sorry. Okay.
You're a week ahead of yourself there, Rick.
I'm sorry, dude.
All right. So I'm just wondering on thoughts on who you think they're going to, you know, be introduced, you know, against. And also if you think they're just another, if they should have just waited until after Money in the Bank. I mean, with the returns of, you know, recent returns of Christian, we're going to have RVD at Money in the Bank. They just brought back Fandango.
Sean?
I kind of wish they waited till after the pay-per-view, but I'm hoping they'll make a huge impact Monday.
You know, Bo, I obviously haven't had time to think about this because you're just now enlightening me as I've been away from a lot of this for a while. The more I think about it here on the spot, the more I think that they're going to have an even bigger impact at the pay-per-view. I mean, they've been touting them for a month now, putting on some of the best promos, vignettes that I've seen. All I can think is this Monday they're going to come out, you know, in a blaze, and then the pay-per-view they're going to make an even bigger stink. But Sean, who do you think they're going to go after?
I have no clue, honestly, but I could see them going after the Shield.
You still sticking with that?
I can't think of any better idea at the moment.
Bo, what are you thinking?
Well, I was thinking along your lines, Rick, you know, making somewhat of an impact and then making an even bigger one at Money in the Bank. I was thinking along the lines of someone in the All-Star Money in the Bank match as WWE is promoting it as. Like Orton or Sheamus or Bryan or just someone in there that, you know, a bigger name that would really put the Wyatt family on the map. But as to exactly who, I don't have a clue.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm really at a loss on what they've got planned. But they've obviously got us all intrigued, which is the point of the whole thing. All right. Time to move on, gentlemen. Sean, as the PWO World Trivia Wrestling Champion, did we find a challenger willing to take you on for this evening's bout?
We had a challenger, but he had to pull out because of a throat injury.
Okay, so the open call is out tonight if anybody is out there wanting to challenge Sean Blitzforcer for his belt. As his, he has no challenger for tonight, so this is your golden opportunity to take on the champ and wrest the belt away from him. Yeah. This segment we all know is Get Blitzed, because we know what happens, Bo, don't we, if Sean does not get a challenger?
Of course.
So I'm going to give Sean Forster about 15 seconds to talk about his winning of the championship last week against Roy Lusher, and hopefully we'll have somebody with the Cojones to call in to take on the Blitz. If not, Bo, you're going to be called to the ring. So, Sean, 15 seconds. Talk about your championship, two-time champion.
After Mr. Lucier took me down in a triple threat match and avoided me for a couple weeks, I proceeded to run through Bo Johnson and Bo Ashimoto's arm, and I decided that I was going to keep this fire in my belly. I came in last week, and I did just what I said I was going to do. I took down Roy in a very hard-fought match, and I took my title back. I got a fire in my belly, and anyone who thinks they got the nuts to face me, bring it on.
Is there anybody out there who's got a testicular fortitude to take this man on? If you do, call now, or we're going to have to be forced with a preliminary match. 5 seconds. 3 seconds. Sean Blitz Forrester, your challenger for this evening will be none other than Lord Bowmeister himself, Bo Johnson. Bo, how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, Rick?
Good. What do you think your odds are of taking down the champion this evening?
Well, I think I've got a pretty good shot this time around.
Blitz, what do you think of that?
Shouldn't you be more focused on getting a point rather than winning?
Oh. You know what? I'm going to give Bo... we're going to try to pump the man up a little bit. Bo, are you ready? If that didn't inspire you, Bo, nothing will. Are you ready to bow up tonight? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question number one. We know how the game is played. In the 1996 World Championship Wrestling Halloween Havoc, who defeated Rey Mysterio Jr. to become WCW Cruiserweight Champion?
Blitz. Dean Malenko.
That is correct. The champion has a 1-0 lead. The Global Wrestling Federation had a tag team in the early 90s called the Blackbirds. Who were they?
Blitz.
Blitz Forrester.
Iceman Parsons and Action Jackson.
That is not correct, Blitz. Bo, you have a free shot at him. Five seconds, Bo.
I got nothing.
The correct answer, Blitz Forrester, is Iceman King Parsons and Brickhouse Brown. So you got one half of it correct. Question number three. The Worldwide Wrestling Federation had a boxing match in 1977 between Gorilla Monsoon and Andre the Giant. Who officiated this match? Five seconds. Bo.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Muhammad Ali.
That is not correct. Blitz Forrester, you have a free shot at him. Five seconds.
Blitz. Was it Joe Walcott?
That is not correct as either. The correct answer is Antonino Rocca.
Oh.
And he unfortunately passed away just a few months after officiating this match. Which pro wrestler had the distinction of chauffeuring the 800-pound Happy Humphrey before getting the chance to be a pro wrestler? Chauffeured Happy Humphrey. Blitz.
Was it King Harley Race?
Well, he wasn't a king at the time, but it is Harley Race. Blitz has taken a 2-0 lead over the challenger, the Bowmeister. In World Championship Wrestling, there was a wrestler going by the name of Patty Stonegrinder. What was her more famous moniker?
Blitz. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but Leilani Kai.
Leilani Kai is correct, 3-0. We are halfway through, Bo, and once again, you have yet to score a point on Blitz Forrester. I need to wake you up.
Hey.
All right, Bo, are you ready?
I'm awake.
All right, here we go. Who was the first in Pro Wrestling Illustrated's PWI 500, who was the very first number 500 wrestler? Getting a lot of silence tonight. 5 seconds. The answer is Zeus. Zeus was the very first PWI 500, number 500 wrestler. That was, I believe, 1991. Question number 7. To date, this is official. I know this. There's unofficials out there, but this is officials. To date, how many official different wrestlers have performed under the Lord Humongous gimmick?
Bo.
Three.
That is incorrect. Blitz, you have a free shot, the Bowmeister.
10.
Oh, he just nailed you, Bowmeister. 4-0, it is 10. That is correct. And two of them were even related to each other. And who are they?
Blitz.
Sean, just for extra credit.
Sid Vicious and his son Gunner.
Correct. 4-0. We're just playing mop-up now, ladies and gentlemen, because we still have a defending champion, Sean Blitz Forrester. Question number 8, Mark Lewin was a member of Kevin Sullivan's cult in the 80s under what moniker? Five seconds, gentlemen. The answer was the Purple Haze. He was the Purple Haze. Question number 9. After defeating Larry Zbysko in the AWA, which wrestler started going by the Living Legend for the majority of the rest of his career?
Bo.
Bo.
Oh, repeat the question.
After defeating Larry Zbysko in the AWA, which wrestler started going by the Living Legend moniker himself for the majority of his career after that point?
Nick Bockwinkel.
That is incorrect. Sean, you have a free shot at him.
Masa Saito.
That is incorrect as well. The correct answer is actually DC Drake's biggest opponent, and that was Larry Winters. We go to the final question of the evening. Blitz Forrester 4, Lord Bowmeister, nada. Come on, this is your last chance, Bo, to get on the board. You've had two shots at this man, and we have not got a score out of you yet. All right, Bo, here we go. Made famous by British wrestler Peter Thornley, dating back to 1964, Mr. Sakurada utilized this gimmick in the early 80s while radically altering the character. I thought for sure the Bowmeister would be all over this one.
Blitz.
Blitz Forrester.
Kendo Nagasaki.
And Blitz Forrester. Has just defeated Lord Bowmeister 5-0 as he scores the last point of the match. Sean, just swing one at him.
All right.
Hey.
Bo, you've had two full rounds with the champion of the world, and you have yet to even give this man a break of sweat. What do you have to say for yourself, Bo?
I don't know. That I'm not fully prepared. I usually don't get these until the very last minute.
True. But how would you prepare yourself for such an endeavor against Blitz Forrester?
Study.
You either know it or you don't, right?
Exactly.
Blitz Forrester, once again, a complete pummeling, thrashing, if you will, of Lord Bowmeister. Do you feel any sense of ever allowing him another title shot? Be truthful, Blitz.
Yeah.
Squash match.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong, Bo.
Once again, time for our weekly TNA discussion. And before doing that, I'm going to come right out and admit my own fallacies. For the second straight week, I have missed Impact Wrestling in its entirety. I haven't even caught up on last week's episode, let alone been able to watch this week's episode. So both of you, take your shots. Blitz Forrester, I'm going to have you lead us into the segment because the prophet has failed us. I haven't been able to watch the shows.
Again. Well, to start off with, Austin Aries was the X Division champion. T.J. Perkins, the old Suicide, has been repackaged as Manic. And
Manic?
A beautiful... Yes, Manic.
Whoa. Slow down, Blitz. Slow down. So, T.J. Perkins is not his name, T.J. Perkins.
Right. He's named
Manic. Did he announce himself as T.J. Perkins when he was unmasked as Suicide?
I don't believe so.
So what is the purpose of him going from suicide to manic then?
They didn't say.
Continue, Bloods. Just, okay.
They just said it. Well, as we know, I'm not a fan of multi-man title matches unless it's elimination style. Aces and Eights interfered in the X Division title match and took out Manic, which left it down to Aries versus Sabin. And Sabin hit a beautiful cradle shot off the top rope and is now the X Division champion and will be facing at Bully Ray.
Now hang on a second. Austin Aries regained the X Division championship?
Right.
I missed that. When did that happen last week?
Yep.
Right, when he went under
the suicide. So he took Saban out last week and won the X Division title, and then he turns around and loses it right back this week.
Right.
Okay, I'm with you. Okay, continue, please.
Which means that unless they have another title match next week, which I did not read spoilers, so I don't care. July 18th is going to be TNA Destination X Impact, where the X Division champion, Chris Sabin, will be facing off against world champion Bully Ray.
So he hasn't, okay. So he has announced that he's going to cash in his X Division title and turn it in for a shot at Bully Ray.
Right.
So he was offered that chance, and he's made the decision he's going to take his world title shot and give up his X Division title.
Right.
Okay. I've also heard that gut check, they made the decision. I don't know if any of you guys listened to You Didn't Know, which is on Wednesday nights, but Seth Guttenplan and the JCD himself, John DiMaselli, they've had the big O on there before. He does a 14-second bite. In fact, let's listen to it, since we haven't heard from the big O. Let's see if I can find him here real quick. Maybe. Maybe not. Anyway, while I'm looking for the big O, he got his shot as the gut check competitor. And apparently...
Uh-oh, it's the Big O, and you're listening to Oh You Didn't Know Radio on the PWP Network. Stay tuned, we got a great episode ahead, and if you can't handle that heat, get the hell out of my ozone.
That's the Big O. But apparently the Big O did not pass the gut check, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I got to get caught up, gentlemen. This is bad. Continue, Blitz.
And the other thing I really want to talk about, really want to throw a fit here. Well, not so much throw a fit, but in Hernandez's Bound for Glory series match against Jay Bradley, who I don't think should be in there, Chavo distracted Bradley, which allowed Hernandez to win the match, which could signal a heel move, a heel turn for Hernandez.
And your beef with it is what?
Well, my beef is one with Jay Bradley even being in the balance. I'm sure they could.
Yeah, but you already had a beef with that last week, though, Sean. So we got to get off that beef and get into a new beef here. So.
And the other beef being a Hernandez heel turn. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced it'll work.
Why, it worked pretty well with Mexican America.
Well, there's much one hits for me where he's got, he does well as a face. He's big. You know he's big. He does these high flying things as a big guy, which is very, it's very hard to boo a big guy who flies.
But he's been a heel the majority of his time in TNA. That's why I'm not understanding your rationale behind it, because he's been a heel far more often than he's been a good, a face. I mean, he feuded with Matt Morgan. He was the heel. Right?
I thought he was the face when he feuded.
No,
yeah, he was the face.
Not initially. He was the heel, and Morgan was the face. That's when Morgan was doing his big face run.
That was on one feud, but they had another feud where Matt Morgan was the heel, and the whole he was the tag team champion shtick after he turned on Hernandez.
Right.
That's the one I'm referring to.
The problem is I don't think anybody cares, Sean. Now, that's sad to say, because I like Hernandez. I think he's a great talent. He's never been much on the microphone, and I think that's what's killed him. But nobody cares.
And I want to thank you for bringing
up that. So let's move on to this, Sean, can we please? Because there's something I've been wanting to talk about, and that's the releases that TNA has had over the last week here, where they've let go of Madison Rayne, they've let go of Crimson, they've let go of Christian York, Sam Shaw has been let go. Who else? From Gut Check. Taylor Hendricks has been let go from Gut Check as well.
Right.
So you're getting some Gut Check people, with Christian York obviously was in Gut Check as well. So three of the names in this release have all been Gut Check contestants. So what is the purpose of Gut Check if they're just going to release you less than a year later?
First, they did admit that Sam Shaw's release, that the whole Sam Shaw got released thing, that was an error on the part of the news site. That was
so
an error.
So he has not been released?
Right.
Okay.
And quite honestly, Taylor Hendricks can do better than TNA. Sam Shaw, I really wish had gotten released. I saw nothing in him. Madison Rayne, as much as her voice annoys me, I have to admit that she's a great addition to the women's roster.
Well, let's look at this honestly with Madison Rayne. Madison Rayne is pregnant. So she's not exactly able to do anything for them. That doesn't mean they're not going to re-sign her again.
Right.
Once this is all done.
And I'm going to take a moment to complain about Crimson being released, because for the simple reason that, maybe they built him up too quick, but the second James Storm came in and squashed him, basically, he got the wrath treatment. He never recovered.
Well, it signals you've given up on an investment that you haven't even given the opportunity to develop. I mean, he's been down in OVW, right? Working.
Right.
And wasn't he a champion there?
I believe he was.
So I believe he was as well. So they're trying to say that you got a kid who you think has got all this talent in the world, that you're willing to give him a Goldberg-like streak. You're willing to put on your main roster, realizing, we may have pulled it a little too early. Let's send him down to OVW, and then you're just going to release him? That's an awful lot of airtime and an awful lot of investment to put into one particular persona and one character and one young guy to turn around and give up on it that fast. WWE can pick him up in a heartbeat and do something with him.
Mm-hmm.
Bo, what are you thinking about that? Is it a huge error on TNA's part, or is it justified?
Looking at it from TNA's point of view, the whole releases are justified, and you have to save money, but TNA is a problem with Pitt. Or is it... TNA is a money-throwing pit that's going to collapse in on itself here in a few years. So, regardless of that, yeah, they built up Crimson. They were pushing Christian York there for a little bit. Joey Ryan, I don't know if we mentioned his name.
Oh, I forgot. Joey Ryan got released.
Yep. He was a big release, at least to my opinion, because they pushed, like Crimson, they kind of pushed him pretty hard at the beginning there. And now he's just kind of, I mean, after his initial, 87% push there, and then his subsequent teaming with Morgan, he just kind of faded out, which...
Well, that's just a whole case of it's a whole case of creative not having enough upstairs to give the guy something to work with and put him on television. The guy had pretty decent mic skills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is praised. I mean, I don't know how much you guys read about Joey Ryan from out in California and some of those promotions out there, but the people out there think he is the bomb. You know what? They didn't give him a chance.
They didn't. That's the sad thing, is that especially like York and all the other gut check performers that were released, they're not going to get that chance to be on the main stage, so to speak.
They released the wrong guys. They inevitably released the X Division talent. You know, the smaller guys like the Christian Yorks and the Joey Ryans of the world. Yes, they got rid of Crimson, but inevitably the Amazing Reds of the world are the ones that get the bullets, and it's just very frustrating being a TNA fan and watching them continuously. I like Christian York. I thought he had some good stuff in the ring. I liked him. And Ryan, he had the potential to be something if they would have done something with him. But again, creative in their infinite buffoonery, especially in TNA, couldn't come up with anything logical. Why did they team him with Matt Morgan in the first place? It made no sense. I don't understand. That just completely baffles my mind. All right, guys, it's time for the final segment of the evening. A segment where the Blitz and Lord Bowmeister himself will take us on a journey. A wrestling days gone by as we go back in time. In professional wrestling history, what happened on this date in previous years gone by? Bo Meister, what do you got? You know what? Do I need to get my punching and get my fist all warmed up and everything like we did last week? That was kind of fun.
Fun for you, maybe.
I was going to say, did you guys enjoy getting beaten, slapped around a little bit, or no?
Well, compared to Bo, got most of the punishment.
So you enjoyed it thoroughly, right, Blitz?
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right, I've got my open palm, and I've got my fists ready to go for some jabs and some right crosses as well. So why don't you lead us off, Bo Meister?
All right, July 7th, 1996, WCW held their Bash of the Beach pay per view, in which the main event was the formation of. The official formation of the NWO when Hogan turned his back on the fans.
Indeed. Blitz Forrester, how do you follow that one up?
All right. WCW business. We'll go with that. July 5th, 1998, WCW Monday Night Show in Atlanta. Bill Goldberg defeated Hogan for the WCW World title after defending the U.S. title against Scott Hall earlier in the night. On the other channel, WWE had their 267th Brawl, which was headlined by Undertaker dressed as Kane, defeating Mankind to become WWE Championship number one contender. The rating battle went like this. WCW, a 4.80 rating. WWF, 4.03.
Man, this was some good stuff, you guys. That's hard to hit any of you guys with this kind of information. However, one clearly had more significance than the other. Sean, take your shot. The formation, the official formation of the NWO with Hulk Hogan's turn, that was monumental. So the nod goes to the Bowmeister. Sean, what do you got to start off this next round?
All right. Since we're going back in time, July 5th.
That is what the show is, the segment is called, Sean, yes.
All right, then. Let's go way back. July 5th, 1916. Ouch. Let me get it out before you flat. July 5th, 1916, Joe Stecher and Ed Strangler Lewis wrestled for a five-hour draw in Omaha, Nebraska. Lewis wrestled defensively, did not even try to get any offense in, and the crowd did not like it one bit.
Now, was the title on the line? I mean, was he champion at that time? Strangler?
That's a good question. I don't believe it was.
Okay. Bo, what do you got?
Okay, July 4th, 1993, Lex Luger body slammed Yokozuna on the deck of the USS Intrepid. Kind of pushing forward towards their SummerSlam encounter.
Indeed. Sean, take your shot. You didn't even know if the world title was even on Strangler Lewis at the time, so I'm definitely giving this one. And who in the world did not think Lex Luger was going to beat Yokozuna for the title? Never happened. Okay. Bowmeister, lead it off.
July 2nd, 1991, after disputes with management in WCW, Ric Flair takes the big gold belt and leaves.
That was during the Jim Herd days, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, Blitz.
Well, damn. up yours, Bowmeister. Up yours.
Blitz, come on. Should I just hit him now?
Hold it.
I'm holding. Go ahead.
All right, then.
Today, Forrester.
July 5th. 2005, WWE released 20 talent in one hit, including Charlie Haas, Joy Giovanni, Dawn Marie, and all three Dudleys that WWE had, Bubba Ray, D-Von, and Spike.
Take it like a man, Sean. Physical chairs. Bowmeister strikes again. Sean, lead us off this one. You're getting wiped out. This is almost like reliving in the Bizarro world of Blitz and Trivia, except this time it's back in time with Bowmeister completely annihilating the Blitz. Go ahead, Sean. Redeem yourself.
All
Can
right.
you score a point?
All right. That's good. On July 3rd, 1965.
19 what? I'm sorry?
1965.
65, the year of the prophet.
Right. The birth of the Japanese master of the DDT was the Brainbuster, depending on who you ask. He did both beautifully. The birth of one Shinya Hashimoto. If you've never seen his Brainbuster DDT, it's a beauty. The spike.
Bowmeister, what you got, sir?
Okay, July 6th, 1914. Vincent James McMahon was brought into this world.
Hey, Sean. Sean.
Oh.
All right, Bo. Domination continues.
Okay. Man, I had a... Okay, July 1st, 1992, WWE Hall of Famer Edge made his professional wrestling debut.
Nice. Do we know where or against whom?
I could not find any sort of result to that nature. I just found the date.
Was it in Canada? Or do you even know where
it
was at? Okay.
That's not as much as I know it's in Canada.
Blitz Forrester, what do you got?
All right. July 4th, 1984, World Class Championship Wrestling held at Independence Day Star Wars event from Fort Worth, Texas. On the card, we had the Fabulous Freebirds defeating the Von Erichs with its World Six-Man titles. A mixed tag match as Chris Adams and Stella Mae French defeated Jimmy Garvin and Precious in a Loser Leaves Town cage match, and a Battle Royal where Gino Hernandez won.
So what was the biggest match on the card for that night?
The Freebirds versus the Von Erichs.
Sean?
You're really going to hit me?
Yes, I'm
going to
hit you. We take the main event as a six-man tag team match. Seriously? Between the Von Erichs and the Freebirds, granted, two great, you know, three-man tag teams.
Tag
but team. Bo brought in the birth of a Hall of Famer. Sean, try again. You're being shut out and running out of time.
I'm calling bull here. I'm calling
no,
bull
it doesn't matter what
one.
You call because I'm the one with the fists. So go ahead.
And I'm the one with the fingers.
And I am the one with the microphone, too. So we can't
right,
see the
then.
Finger.
Very well. July 7th, 2005, SmackDown aired with the infamous Muhammad Hassan attack on The Undertaker, where the four men in black attacked Taker and choked him out. But it was removed from UK airing because of the London terrorist attacks, and Muhammad Hassan is soon removed from television because of this.
Bo.
All right. July 1997 in the Ice Arena in Sapporo, Japan, as part of the Summer Struggle Tour. El Samurai defeated the J Crown champion Jushin Thunder Liger to take all eight of the pretty much the J Crown.
Mm. Man, Blitz, I actually thought you were gonna score a point there, dude. Not so much. Bowmeister. Bo.
I'm looking. Hang on.
No, you're running out of time, Bo. Come on. You're gonna get hit for wasting for dead air space.
July 5th, 2002, Triple A Aw held their Triple Mania 10 from Madero, Mexico. Headlining this card was a Rival Suicidas match involving Máscara Maligna and Máscara Sagrada defeating Octagon and Pentagon, which led to Octagon defeating Pentagon in a mask versus mask match. Also on the card was a Ruleta de la Muerte, starring some of the bigger names in AAA at the time, in which Maniacal lost. And then the Mexican National Atomicos titles were retained by Los Vatos Locos from the Black family.
Very nice. Blitz Forrester.
July 2nd, 2006. Our two favorite extreme offenders, Rob Van Dam and Sabu, are arrested for possession of various drugs, RVD with marijuana, and pills in the case of Sabu. Sabu gets fined $1,000. Rob Van Dam is suspended, with the suspension coming immediately after losing the WWE title to Edge and the ECW title to Big Show.
So Van Dam was a champion at the time.
Right. He was a double champion.
He was what titles again?
The WWE title.
And the ECW title. Right? Bo, I hate to do this to you, dude.
All right. Hey.
All right, you both have one shot left. Let's go. Blitz. Quickly.
July 4th, 1989. Jasper, Alberta, Canada. A car accident, leaving serious injuries to Davey Boy Smith, Jason Otero, and Chris Benoit.
Bo.
1 year prior to that, July 4th, 1988, Adrian Adonis passed away at the age of 33 in a car accident.
I was wondering if that was going to come up or not. Forrester, yours wasn't nearly as impactful. All right, guys, we're down to our last few seconds. I want to say thank you to Main Event Wrestling for joining us tonight. And for my good buddies, Sean the Blitz Forcer, the PWO Trivia Champion, and Lord Bowmeister himself, I am the Prophet Rick Craig. We'll see you next week with Ahmed Johnson.